get this one, Miles.
You are listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of The Business Called Cricket. And today, we are going to talk about women leaders in the sport and why they are important at this hour. It's a very special initiative that has been undertaken by the International Cricket Council, 100% Cricket Future Leaders Program. And the reason is that they feel more and more women should come and run the sport. At this hour, I am joined by former Australian captain and the chief mentor to that program, Belinda Clark. Belinda, a very warm welcome to you on my podcast, The Business Called Cricket. I would like to know, what is it that you are offering to the women leaders and how do you propose them to mentor?
Yeah, thank you for having me. And it's just such a great pleasure to be involved in this program. So essentially, the program is designed to ensure that over time, we are able to increase the number of females in the pipeline that can walk into the sport in leadership roles across all sorts of areas, broadcast, digital, commentary, coaching, etc. So very broad in terms of its scope. There's lots of avenues to work in cricket and we're trying to ensure that we've got a nice pipeline of talent coming through. So that's the purpose of it. And we've got some amazing mentors who have signed up to help us do that. And we're really looking forward to getting started in a couple of weeks.
Belinda, I would like to know, you arrived on the name 100% Cricket Future Leaders Program. Where did this name come about? Why 100% cricket? It could have been 100% sport also.
Yeah, good question. But 100% cricket was the campaign around the T20 World Cup, which was so successful in Australia. And you know, it's designed to give the impression and the perception, the inspiration that cricket is for males and females, and that when you're doing it, you give it 100%. And that's the logic of this program as well. People that will come into it, the mentors that are involved in it, they'll give 100% of their effort to the sport and the program, and that'll create some great outcomes.
Is it also an attempt to, change the image of cricket, which now, is perceived to be an all-boys club?
Look, I think cricket's been evolving itself for quite some time. I mean, the first women's international match was back in 1934-35, so we've got a long history. It's just that it's been reasonably silent to the general public. So what we're trying to do is make sure that people understand that this is a game for both males and females, boys and girls, men and women, and there's plenty of space in the sport for everyone to participate. And that creates a cultural shift. It takes time to do that. But look, what I've experienced in my time in the sport is remarkable change and evolution over that period. What this program is designed to do is to say we need to keep going, we need to keep taking the next step in order to make the game as inclusive as possible.
Belinda, you spoke about inclusiveness in cricket. Tell us, where did this idea come from and why at this point in cricket? I mean, this is a historic move that you've undertaken.
It is. And I think, I think the people that, work for the ICC, they represent generally the wishes of the members of the organisation, which are over 100 countries and members of the ICC, and they're all undergoing change. They're all trying to open their doors to women. They're all trying to get more girls to play, more women to coach, etc. So this is a leadership position from the ICC to say, look, let's bind together. Let's create a program that is of benefit to the world of cricket. And let's see if over the next 6 months we can create some really good experiences for 15 people involved in the program to step forward. And hopefully if it works and it does what it's designed to do, then there'll be another 15 and another 15. And bit by bit, we'll be pouring some, highly skilled individuals who are already, very good in their field. We're just going to try and top them up with a bit of support from some amazing mentors from around the world.
Belinda, when it comes to ICC, we often talk about the big three and the power they wield within the ICC structure. Are they helping through 100% cricket to spread the game beyond the traditional areas, traditional patches where the sport is played? And how does women's cricket then help in spreading the game, spreading the sport?
Look, I think absolutely there's a desire to ensure that there's opportunities for countries that are perhaps not as deep into cricket as others are. Obviously, we've got a number of countries around the world that are steeped in a very deep tradition of the sport, and we've got others that are emerging, and there's a batch in between. So I think the desire here is to ensure that there is opportunities across every country. And that's important if the sport's going to grow globally. And if you look at comparisons of other sports, like whether it's football, whether it's rugby, whether they're Olympic sports, it's really important that those sports all represent both males and females. And cricket, whilst it's done that on the playing field for an awful long time, what we're trying to do is make sure that all areas of the game have a diverse voice around, whether it's a table or a coaching course, that there's opportunities for women to take those up. Now, having worked in the game for a while, it's really obvious to me that when you have people contributing to solutions that are diverse and they come at it from different perspectives, whether that be gender, whether that be race, religion, you name it, when you get different perspectives, you generally come out with much better outcomes.
Belinda, during the last ICC World T20, which was staged in Australia, we saw a team come from Thailand. Are you expecting to have women on board from countries like that, and even the ones who do not play an active role in the game?
Absolutely, and we've been overwhelmed with applicants, and they're being checked on the hour at the moment, but people have applied from countries like Botswana, Iran, USA, Canada. Now, they're not countries that you generally associate with cricket. So it's wonderful that this message has got out there and that these people have been supported by their home boards to put applications in. And, we're really excited about the breadth of people that have applied.
Belinda, we've spoken about the applications and what it could do. I haven't asked you yet about the verticals that that are talked about in the 100% Cricket Future Leaders program. What are the areas that you are going to mentor them in?
Look, I think what will be really important in this program is that the mentors, the mentees will be joined up with a mentor and very experienced people that have worked inside the sport for very long periods of time and done some amazing things. So what that allows us to do is that each person will receive a bespoke mentoring arrangement, which will allow them to dig into the areas that they want to dig into. So we'll provide some framework for that to occur. There'll be some other information that flows to them. But I think the beauty of this is that each person is going to get a very clear relationship formed with someone that's been there, done that, and it'll be exciting for each of them to be able to have that the program actually fit them rather than them fit the program.
And at the beginning of the program, you're going to set certain goals to achieve at the end of the six-month period?
Yeah, look, what we'll be doing is making sure that people maximise the opportunity that's in front of them and be able to reflect on that journey. So it'll be a reflection of the individual and what they learnt from the experience, but there'll also be an opportunity to reflect more broadly than that to over time to see whether these people have gone back home and worked in the game and continued to push forward and contribute to the sport in ways that perhaps they weren't prior to this.
Belinda, in 2022, we know that when Commonwealth Games happens, women's cricket will be a very important part of it. Do you see that as a segue to the Olympic Games in the future?
It will certainly be a nice little indicator to see whether cricket in the T20 format can fit inside Olympic Games in the future. So the Commonwealth Games will be a great litmus test for that. And on its own, the Commonwealth Games is an amazing opportunity for the sport, for the women's game in particular, in order to see the other countries with the other athletes, and to be part of something that is that big will be wonderful for the players involved. But absolutely, we've got our fingers crossed that it goes really well and that it is a nice little litmus test for the Olympic Games further down the track.
What is your opinion of the T10 format, which is being talked about as one fit for the Olympic Games, because it's also a 90-minute version of the game?
Look, I'm sure there's a lot of operational issues that need to be worked through. The Olympic Games have got quite a stringent set of requirements that are needed to be met by sports that come into them. So whether that ends up being a T10 format or using the existing T20 or something else, I think will need to be worked out over time. I think in general terms, I'm a fan of the T20 game. I think it works really well. I think you can quicken it up and get the time frame squeezed a little bit by doing some creative things. But if the leaders of the sport and their negotiations with the Olympic Games requires a shorter format, then I'm sure that the sport will rise up to that challenge and find something that will work.
Belinda, what is your opinion of the 100-ball format?
Look, it's pretty similar to what we're seeing as a T20 format, really. I mean, it's being wrapped up in a different way for quite a particular purpose in England, and they're trying to capture a youth market. They're trying to change a few areas to make it a little bit easier to understand for people that haven't necessarily attached themselves to the game. So in essence, I'm hoping that it goes well for them domestically. I've got concerns that you get too many formats of the game, that that you can't play all of them internationally. So there's a trade-off there. And like I said, I think the T20 format has provided a great vehicle for cricket to get back into the youth market. And I think it's done a great job both domestically and internationally in order to achieve that.
What I understand from reading about the 100% cricket futures program is that you are giving a big push to women's cricket globally by grooming these leaders. Now, does the ICC then expect these people who are groomed to go back to their home countries, to go back to countries where cricket is played or not played, and give that kind of push, help women's cricket to grow? And will ICC there then have a role in helping these people put together those areas or execute those roles?
I think the way I frame this in my mind is that the purpose of coming into the program is to develop yourself in order to then go back and contribute. And that contribution, generally speaking, will be across cricket, full stop. So it won't necessarily only be into women's cricket. It'll be into men's cricket and to boys and girls, etc. It could be depending on the role you're playing. If you're working in the digital space, it could easily be across both male and female. So the objective is to get females into the program, upskilled, increase their experience, provide them with great mentorship, and allow them to go back then and support the sport back in their home countries. And in terms of supporting them beyond the program, I think that's why it's really important that they've been supported by their home boards in order to undertake the program, because there is some responsibility from the home boards to step up to the plate and make sure that the program and the people that have been in it do have some opportunities post the program to get involved in higher projects, more difficult issues, etc. So it is a joint effort. The member board is supporting, the ICC is providing the vehicle, and the person that's participating in the program is pouring effort in as well with their mentor. So it's a partnership, and these things always require multiple people to contribute beyond the actual program.
Belinda, while women have traditionally contributed towards cricket and the growth of sport, but contribution from women have been limited, because I, as a cricket journalist, can tell you that acceptance have been, acceptance from the larger community has been very, very, very limited. Not many people want to accept women as a voice in the sport, how will this program then change that?
I think people generally accept things once there's a bit of momentum created, once they get used to seeing, whether it's seeing people on the television talking about cricket, whether it's seeing people, females playing cricket on the telly, whether it's coaching. So the more that it happens, the more normal it becomes. And I think what I've witnessed here in Australia is exactly as you described. And now we've got a number of females that are commentating on the cricket, and it's not unusual for them to be working across both men's and women's commentary. And that took a little bit of time to get there. But once the voices were heard and people were used to it and they understood who these people were, what their backgrounds and experience was, and their passion for the sport, I've heard less about whether or not they want to hear a woman's view on the sport, and more about some of the interesting points that they're bringing up. So I think it does take time, and it does take a critical mass of people to tip over that point where it becomes a lot more normal. And I totally understand that that's not the case everywhere, but I suppose it's just an example that it can happen if we do get enough people in the right spots at the right time and start to influence what is acceptable.
Belinda, correct me if I'm wrong. What I understand is that this is also a perfect opportunity for a fan or someone who's passionate about the game, understands the game, to come be a part of this cause and then contribute meaningfully towards the growth and development of the game. And that person doesn't necessarily have to be a cricketer or have played cricket at some level.
No, that's correct. You don't have to be a background in playing the sport. It's really important to make that point. It's a great opportunity to do that. But you know, there's so many roles in cricket that are bespoke roles that do not require a history of playing the game. And digital tech and broadcast is one of those. You don't have to be a past cricketer to be an outstanding commentator or an outstanding journalist, an outstanding person working in the digital and tech. So if you're someone in governance, in administration, in coaching, they're all roles that you can do having not played at the highest level. And I think that's really important for people to understand, is that the sport has lots of opportunities to contribute, and playing is one of them, and that leads to some other things at times, but it's not the only avenue into the game.
Belinda, I'm really curious to ask you this question, that like many other aspects of life, COVID has brought certain difficulties to cricket as well. Now, to get past these challenging times and look ahead, how important is it for ICC to bring in women and women in leadership position to now give them way out of this pandemic mess?
Yeah, and it is a mess. And I just feel for the countries, and I mean everyone in the world is going through this in different ways, but at certain points in time there are countries that are suffering enormous stress. And I mean, we've got India at the moment in exactly that position, and previously it was England, and previously South Africa. So it almost it just doesn't go away. It just keeps circling back. And it's really important that as a global community, we do absolutely everything we can to help countries that are undergoing that stress at that moment in time. But what I think I've experienced over the last 12 months is trying to navigate through that, sitting around an exec table. It's really important that you get diverse views coming through in order to work out, how do we do this? What's our next move? Have we considered all the different perspectives? So I think this is a great opportunity for the sport to, include more women in those decision-making roles, because it is really important that we get different perspectives to pull us out of what is a terrible situation globally.
Belinda, while ICC is doing all of this to help cricket grow and make cricket more inclusive, but what we have seen is because of COVID, particularly in India, women's cricket has taken a backseat. There was a long time when women's cricket didn't resume, then it resumed. And now it seems when we probably would have had a tiny opportunity of having a full-fledged IPL, that's not happening because, once again, because of COVID, the men's IPL is in a big mess right now. And there's just no talk of women's IPL happening. So how do you really address, you know, this kind of a divide? And we know, you know, someone like Mithali Raj, who's a legend in Indian cricket, she has had 500 days of no cricket in her career. So how does, you know, one get about these issues?
Yeah, and look, I think everyone's, again, facing different sort of constraints around this. And I know in Australia there was a lot of talk around how do we make sure that we're providing equal amount of effort to get our female domestic competitions and international team up and running the same as we would the men's team. And I think that it's critical that boards are thinking about both men and women as they're going through this process. But I'm also aware that not everyone's at the same position in terms of what they were committing to the women's game prior to this. So I think what we need to be aware of is that this is an opportunity to ask those questions and encourage more action in terms of the equity in their decisions.
One final question, let me ask you about equal pay that has been, you know, on the mind of women athletes, women administrators and, you know, people who serve the game. Do you think that this initiative, this move by the ICC is a move in that direction, will perhaps help women to claim equal pay?
Look, it depends who's paying, who's making those decisions. So the ICC doesn't necessarily control or doesn't control how that works at each of the member boards. But what we are signalling here is a very clear intent to ensure that the women's voice is at the table, it's respected and it's considered. And over time, if you get enough women around the table, these things start to shift. Equity in pay is one issue. There's equity in opportunity. There's a whole range of things that need to be addressed. And sometimes I think we need to list those out and work through them in the order of importance to the people that you're trying to support. So as a player, the most important thing to me when I was playing was that we played more cricket. So that was the key issue for us to be, you know, asking for, to be fighting for, and over time we eventually got that. The next step was then to say, okay, now that we're playing more, the next generation needs to be paid more fairly, and the next generation needs better support staff, and the next generation needs blah, 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 blah. So it does take time, and I would hope that this is a step in the right direction, but we've got to be mindful that these things have taken a long time to get to this position, and then we're not going to get out of them in this space of 6 months or 12 months. It's just going to take time to work through that.
Belinda, thank you very, very much for joining me on the podcast, and a big congratulations to you once again, and a big thank you to ICC for making this move and making some kind of a start to make the game more empathetic. Should I use that word? Because with more women coming in, perhaps that way, that is the direction the game is moving to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hit this one, Miles. You were listening to The Business Called Cricket, only on Red Podcast.